You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
June 23rd, 2020, President Trump says he's going to sign an executive order, that would just reinforce and, again, add some clarification to what we already have on the books, the executive order that will basically make sure anyone that tries to deface, tear down, destroy a federal monument will be prosecuted under the Veterans Memorial Act and up to 10 years in prison. And, of course, he's talking about the attempt last night to tear down the Jackson statue across from the White House. He called those protesters, and they were not just protesting. They were trying to cause damage and vandalism. He called them vandals, hoodlums, anarchists, agitators. He said, but we stopped them. And now he said, I want to see some long-term jail sentences for each and every one of them, some in jail and more will be in jail. Good, good. And they were also in the process of trying to set up Black House Autonomous Zone, BHAZ, as they were calling it, I guess. BHAZ, B-H-A-Z, trying to copy what happened in Seattle. We knew that was going to happen elsewhere across the nation. And it was only a matter of time before it surfaced somewhere, so they tried to do it in D.C. They pulled together a bunch of barricades and fencing to establish their own perimeter to identify Black House Autonomous Zone. And once you stepped across that zone area, you had left the USA. And one of them shouting to authorities as they were building their border, we're not hurting anyone, we're protecting ourselves from you. Isn't that kind of what we say about our southern border? We're not hurting anyone by putting it up. We're trying to protect ourselves from those who would come into our country illegally. You think the leftists, the anarchists now are in favor of a southern border? Not likely, Larry. You know what they are going to try to do in Seattle? Finally, the Seattle mayor admits, yeah, we can't have this continue. Because over the weekend, two shootings within 48 hours, leaving one dead, another one in critical condition. That was Saturday night, then another shooting on Sunday night. So the mayor has had to admit it has grown less safe instead of safer. What did she expect? They were not going to send cops in unless there was a 911 call, and even then they couldn't get into the scene of the shooting. That was how they were going to protect the Americans and the Seattle residents and the businesses? No, they were simply going to let the anarchists take control, and it would all be peaceful, a summer of love, as the mayor had proclaimed. BS. And now she's got to deal with it. And how they clear them out, that's going to be the next stage of a very delicate story. And if it involves violence, who do you think's going to be blamed? Oh, you got to blame Trump. You got to blame Trump, period. Joe Biden campaign says we're not going to take another debate with President Trump. We agree to three debates, but no more. We only want to do three. I think it's amazing that Biden is really going to participate in three debates, assuming he stays with that. It'll be interesting to see how he handles himself through three debates. Dateline Atlanta, one of the officers charged in the death of Rayshard Brooks the other day, not the one who actually fired the bullet, but who was there first on the scene. He says, I wouldn't have done anything different. He said, at the end of the day, someone lost their life. To me, it's heartbreaking, no matter the circumstances, no matter what. When anyone dies, truly, it's something you never want to see happen. I can't imagine what their family's going through. But this officer, Devin Brosnan, is being charged. Not with the shooting of Rayshard Brooks, but because at one point he put his foot on Brooks as he was down after he'd been shot. He said, I did it because I didn't know what he was going to do, and his foot was on Brooks for just a few seconds. He said, my side was never heard before they jumped to charges. A former police officer, who's now a Chicago alderman, says, You want to defund police? It's ridiculous. Look at what we have in Chicago. I want to see more outrage. Where's the outrage for the 100-plus people shot in our city? These kids have been killed. Nothing. Nothing. State of Rhode Island says we're going to make a change. We're going to acknowledge that with everything's happening, maybe we need to change our name. And maybe you didn't even know this. They're going to change the name of Rhode Island. The official name of Rhode Island is the State of Rhode Island and Providence Plantations. Well, of course, plantations, not such a good, likable word nowadays at all. And they're going to make a decision to change it. The Union's smallest state had one of the longest names. But now it's going to go back to just two words. Rhode Island.
Larry Connors, USA. News and commentary.
So are you ready to get out from the COVID-19 scare? We might still need to be careful in some areas. I do encourage businesses to make sure your facility is clear of COVID-19. And of course, if you open up and then a client or an employee or someone else surfaces with COVID-19, you need to reevaluate what's going on. I would encourage you to contact Wellington Environmental. They can determine at a very reasonable cost what you need to do before you open, once you are open, and as you move forward. It just makes good sense, doesn't it? Wellington Environmental, for 30 years, has been treating situations at hospitals, schools, daycare centers, private homes. 314-644-4930. 644-4930. Wellington Environmental. Be well with Wellington Environmental. This segment of Larry Connors USA is brought to you by my friends at John Beal Roofing, covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest. Best quality, lowest prices. John Beal, 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
Baby, I got your number. Oh, and I know that you got mine. I called too many times. You can call me, baby. You can call me anytime. You got to call me.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Last night we stopped an attack on a great monument, the monument of Andrew Jackson in Lafayette Park, and I just want to thank law enforcement. They did a great job. We were working very closely with the White House Secret Service and some of our executives. It was really, they did a great job. They stopped the call. Numerous people are in jail and going to jail today.
That is President Trump earlier this morning speaking from the South Lawn of the White House about the events last night in D.C., speaking before he left for Arizona. And, of course, these protesters had decided they wanted two things. One, to topple the Andrew Jackson statue in Lafayette Square Park, a picture of Andrew Jackson on his horse Duke from the Battle of New Orleans and riding with one hand on the reins and one hand lifting his hat. And of course, they also wanted to set up their own autonomous zone in D.C., calling it Black House Zone. President Trump today making it clear, one, I'm going to sign an executive order clarifying and making it easier to unify some of our laws, but we're going to go after them under the Veterans Memorial Act. Up to 10 years in prison, and we will seek maximum sentences every time we can. Not only for trying to destroy the statue, but basically in addition to that, what they did to other statues prior to that. See, this was the second night of problems in D.C. And the full extent of the damage, still not clear right now. The Lincoln Memorial and World War II Memorial defaced in earlier protest, and on Monday night, they did deface the Jackson statue. Killer scum written on the pedestal. Then last night, they put ropes around the statue trying to topple it. 15 tons. They're trying to bring it down. Law enforcement officers made sure it didn't happen. They did destroy some of the surrounding statues around the statue of Jackson. And again, they were spray painting BAZ, B-H-A-Z, for Black House Autonomous Zone on various facilities, including St. John's Church, on the pillars of the church. Police ended up having to use a chemical irritant to disperse the crowd. Several officers hit with objects. Jackson under fire by these protesters right now because of his past treatment of Native Americans, and also he had also been a slave owner at one point. But President Trump is promising jail for these anarchists. You know, when they showed up last night, in addition to already attacking the church and the other statues the previous night, they showed up carrying black wooden shields and wearing helmets painted black. They were coming looking for a battle, getting right in the face of police. I dare you to hit me. I dare you to hit me. How would you like to stand that line? How would you like to stand that line and keep the discipline? If they don't touch you, you don't do anything. You have to sit there and listen to them. They spit at you. They throw something. You may still have to stand until you get the order, move forward. And they consider themselves such great people. And calling cops cowards. As I mentioned, once we saw Seattle fall to anarchists, taking over a 6-square block area in Seattle, labeling it originally CHAZ, the Capitol Hill Autonomous Zone, then later changing the name to CHOP for Capitol Hill Opposition Protest or something of that nature. I said, you watch, they'll try to do it elsewhere. And they'll try to do it where there are blue city mayors and blue governors. Well, D.C., of course, is not a state. But they have a mayor of D.C. and Democrat, and of course, it's right there in front of the White House, so they thought, let's do it right here. President Trump says we're not going to allow it. It's happening there, and it's happening in other places where they're thinking and trying. And if, as I said the other day, if they're even thinking about messing with Texas, they're going to live to regret it, maybe, because they will be prosecuted in Texas. The governor, Abbott, will make sure. The Austin mayor, blue Democrat, may be willing to say, okay, you can take part of Austin. But if the mayor does that, then they're going to have to look at what happened in Seattle. The mayor of Seattle said, okay, let's just let them have it because it'll just be a kind of a street festival. We'll call it a summer of love. But then over this last weekend, violence. 2 different shootings within 48 hours. 1 person killed, and police could not even get into the scene of the shooting. The crowd wouldn't let them. So they never got to really investigate and find out who did the shooting. And then there came a second shooting. A Seattle City Councilwoman wants to claim that it was right-wing activists that infiltrated the zone that did the shooting. I don't believe it, but bottom line is she has no fact. And if police had been allowed to get inside and investigate right away, maybe they would have caught whoever did it. Be they right-wing or left-wing, I don't care. They should be taken into custody. But they wouldn't let police in. And it's very possible, because they would not allow police and paramedics into the area. Even though they took the victims to the hospital where one died, it's possible if police and the ambulance crews had gotten in, that maybe they would have saved that life. Well, now the Seattle mayor recognizes it's not going to be so peaceful and says, we will shut it down. But at last check, I haven't seen them do anything. Not one thing so far. The president of the Seattle Police Officers Guild did an interview with Fox News. And he said, we've already heard stories from inside the zone, residents who live in it or near it. They've been in fear. Businesses have been in fear. They've shuttered their doors. They've left and maybe leaving the area entirely. And Michael Sloan, the president of the Seattle Police Officers Guild, says, yes, it was going to be dangerous. We knew that from the beginning. We knew there was going to be violence.
People are dying. And sadly, I predicted this, and I'm not proud to admit that, but this is what happens when our elected officials don't have the political will to enforce the rule of law. And then now our greater Seattle community, those reasonable people, are seeing what's unfolding here. And I want people to understand this clearly. This is a very serious situation, not just for Seattle, but for our entire country.
He's absolutely right, as we saw replicated in D.C. last night. One of those who lives inside the vicinity said it was doomed to happen from day one. No one wanted to say it. I'm surprised it didn't happen sooner. It should have ended earlier, but it didn't. It did not have to come to this, but now it is. So the mayor now says, yeah, the violence is distracting from changes sought by thousands of peaceful protesters opposing racial inequity and police brutality. So at a news conference, she said, we are now working with the community, or would they call it the nation or state of CHOP, to put an end to this, and that police would soon move back into that precinct building in that area which they had abandoned. And again, keep in mind, the police chief says, I never gave the order to abandon the police station. The mayor says she didn't either. We still don't know who gave the order. But now the mayor says, I will give the order to send them back when we think it's safe enough. She is not giving an immediate timeline for clearing out the occupation and says additional steps will be examined if people don't leave voluntarily. Additional steps. They've already got scores of people camping in a park inside the zone. During the day, mostly peaceful, but at night, it becomes violent. The mayor says, the cumulative effects of the gatherings and protests and the nighttime atmosphere and violence has led to increasingly difficult circumstances for our businesses and residents. The impacts have increased. The safety has decreased. She just now is getting it. She's just now getting it. Again, the words of Michael Sloan, the president of the Seattle Police Officers Guild, when it comes to leadership.
It's absolutely unbelievable. In the United States of America, in a major urban area, that police cannot go in to assist victims of extreme violence. And this will continue until leadership takes over here.
But there is no real leadership because the mayor allowed it to happen. And laughingly said in the beginning, oh, it'd be just kind of like a big street festival. We have those all the time. It'll be kind of like a summer of love. Tell that to the dead and injured from these first two shootings. And now the mayor is saying there should be no place in Seattle that the Seattle Fire Department and Seattle Police Department can't go. Well, in the beginning, she was willing to accept it, close the precinct headquarters, get the police out of the area. Not to go in unless there was a legitimate 911 call. And when it came, police couldn't get in anyway. Now some of the CHOP members are asking for changes in the zone themselves. They want leaders to set up a safe use area on the outskirts of the zone with different signage encouraging intoxicated persons stay away. Oh, really? And they want to impose a curfew to prevent destructive behavior at night. My God, they're doing exactly what they should have been doing from the beginning. We don't want a bunch of drunks roaming through the city of Seattle, destroying and causing violence. Now the very ones who set up CHOP say we want to have those rules. Suddenly they're concerned about rules and regulations. One of them even saying, in a writing, a statement released, would like to acknowledge that no organizations, protests, or revolutions are perfect. Really. And you won't accept that for this nation and its history. We're not perfect, but we're trying, and we've been doing better than any other nation in the world. The Seattle police chief now stating, "This is not about politics. I'm not a politician. This is a debate about life or death, so we need a plan. I cannot stand by, not another second, and watch anyone die in our streets while people aggressively thwart the efforts of police and other first responders." And yet she did the other day. Couldn't do much about it. Didn't dare do much about it. Might have gotten more vicious. And President Trump says, if we don't get leadership, I will act.
I want to also say this. If the state governments, because you see them all over in Seattle, they're very weak. And in Minnesota, they might need help. If they need help, the federal government is willing to help them. If these hoodlums come around, these are not protesters, by the way. These are anarchists and other things. If these hoodlums come around, and if the states can't handle it, we are ready, willing, and able to help, as we did in Minnesota, where we stopped after 4 days. They finally called, and we did a great job with the National Guard.
The words of President Trump. We're going to take a break. When we come back, the son of Muhammad Ali says he thinks he knows what Ali would say about Black Lives Matter. Stand by. You want to look better, stronger, leaner? Visit my trainer, Jamie, and his team at Red Fitness Lounge in Clayton. Red Fitness Lounge, redefining exercise, changing how you think and look at fitness, one client at a time. Check it out, redfitnesslounge.com, redfitnesslounge.com.
Not a yes sir, not a follower. Fit the box, fit the mold, have a seat in the foyer. Take a number. I was lightning before the thunder.
Thunder, 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 thunder.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
As I told you the other day, Ben Crump, the attorney for the George Floyd family, a black attorney in Houston, also representing other black families who've lost loved ones at the hands of white police officers, says, "I'm not in favor of pulling down these statues. I don't think it's the right thing to do. We tear these things down. We need to not repeat mistakes of the past. And now we're tearing down that part of history." That's his opinion. Now, we don't know what Martin Luther King would have to say about tearing down these statues. We do know, I think, based on his actions, what he would say about violence in the streets that we've been seeing, all tied to this activity, because that was not the way he did things. We don't really know what Muhammad Ali would say. And, of course, Ali was born Cassius Clay in 64, changed his name as he joined the Nation of Islam, changed his name to Muhammad Ali to rid himself, as he said, of his slave name. Well, he does have a son and daughter that are speaking out. Muhammad Ali Jr., the son of the late boxing icon, says, "I don't think my dad would have supported the current Black Lives Matter movement. He said, I think he would say it's racist. He said, I think it's racist. He says, not just Black Lives Matter, White Lives Matter, Chinese Lives Matter, all lives matter. Everybody's life matters. God loves everyone. He never singled anyone out. Killing is wrong, no matter who does it. My father would have said, they ain't nothing but devils. He said, my father said, all lives matter. I think he would agree." Now, I do point out to you that Muhammad Ali Jr. and his father in his latter years, their relationship completely fell apart in this final decade of his life, but that's his belief of what his father would say. He says it's a racial statement, pitting black people against everyone else, and I hate that. That's according to Muhammad Ali Jr. and what he thinks his father would say. In 2016, Ali's most famous child, TV personality, retired boxer Layla Ali made a similar statement saying, "All lives matter." The boxing world champion said, "Yes, black lives matter. Yes, white lives matter. Asian lives matter. All lives matter." She said, that's my focus, and I think that would have been my father's as well. Now, I mentioned in news and commentary that the state of Rhode Island is going to change its name due to slavery connotations. The state of Rhode Island, our smallest state, is officially named the state of Rhode Island and Providence Plantations. Well, now they're in the process to change it. They're going to basically go back to just Rhode Island. They can't do it officially until it has the vote from the Rhode Island citizens. But the state legislature is moving forward with such a referendum because they think adding the word plantations refers to slavery. If you're going to start changing names, I have a question. I'm not making a decision. It's not mine to make, but I have a question here. And Rhode Island can make their own decision and the people of Rhode Island. It's their state. But my question is, what do you do about the NAACP? You do know what that says and what it stands for. The National Association for the Advancement of Colored People. Is that acceptable nowadays? I'm just asking. I'm not making a decision one way or the other. I think the NAACP has been a great organization, and since a civil rights organization since being formed in 1909. So I praise them, but I just raise that question. Stand by for another story.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
So you're sitting in your favorite chair, you're enjoying your coffee, and then you see it. What is that? It's moving. Oh, it's a bug. Now, you don't care what kind, you just want it out of your house. Call Rottner Pest Solutions. They'll show up, take care of that bug and all of his friends. Now, you might think any pest control company could do the job, but with Rottner, all employees go through extensive background checks. And Rottner is proud to be the first company in Missouri to receive the Quality Pro Green designation. Plus, Rottner stands behind its work with a money-back guarantee, offering free inspections anytime. So after Rottner clears your house of any pesky critters, go back to your chair and that cup of coffee. Rottner Pest Solutions, Missouri's largest family-owned pest control company, serving more than just the St. Louis metro area. Go to Rottner.com, Rottner.com, and schedule a free inspection. Rottner.com.
I fell into a ring of fire. I fell into a burning ring of fire. I went down, 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 and the flames went higher. And it burns, burns, burns. The ring of fire. The ring of fire.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Well, the latest word coming out is that half of the U.S. states are reporting an increase in new COVID-19 cases. And one expert saying you need to watch the danger signs in some parts of the country, adding, and this is the former acting director of the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, Dr. Richard Besser, says as you reopen, you expect to see more cases. Well, I understand that. But what we're hearing, he says, in terms of the public health model of testing people through contact tracing, then isolation and quarantine, it doesn't sound like it's working as well as it really needs to. Again, that's the opinion of the former acting director of the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. And he says, I'm seeing some real danger signs for places like New York, New Jersey, Washington, D.C., and he said those states and the state of New Jersey and D.C. are entering their second phase of reopening. Others are pointing to Florida and Texas as areas of concern. According to Florida's health department, the state surpassed 100,000 total cases Monday, and experts expect that's going to be the next U.S. coronavirus epicenter, Florida. Texas, several mayors expressing concerns about the pace at which the state is reopening. The mayor of Houston says we're moving very fast in the wrong direction. So this is a healthcare crisis. And quite frankly, your failure to wear masks or engage in social distancing directly impacts on someone else. So at the latest check with the Johns Hopkins University, at least 25 states now showing a rise in new cases compared to last week. You want the list of the states? I got it for you. Arizona, California, Colorado, Delaware, Florida, Georgia, Hawaii, Idaho, Kansas, Michigan, Mississippi, Missouri, Montana, Nevada, Ohio, Oklahoma, Oregon, South Carolina, Tennessee, Texas, Utah, Washington, West Virginia, Wisconsin, and Wyoming. In L.A., they're recording another single day high in new cases. But the death count doesn't seem to be jumping like that. These are just cases of confirmed cases of COVID-19. Is that because additional testing is coming up with it? And those who are getting sick, are they going into the hospitals and slamming and dunking all the ICUs into basic hell holes because there's not enough people, not enough services, not enough incubators, respirators, whatever? No, we're not seeing or hearing that, are we? Believe me, if it were happening, don't you imagine the mainstream media would be pushing that storyline? Because many on the left, they want to see you and this nation continue to suffer. And if you're suffering from COVID-19, so be it. If it means more businesses are closed down and the economics of this nation are being hurt, so be it. Suffer. So you have the situation with New York Governor Cuomo, where they had numerous deaths in New York State. Remember his order he put in effect saying that if you have a COVID-19 patient being released from the hospital and being sent to a nursing home, nursing homes must accept them. You got to take them. And if someone shows up just to check into the nursing home, if they have COVID-19, you got to take them. In other words, we're taking all these folks who have COVID-19, putting them into the basic worst spot they could be in. Elderly, infirm, already health-challenged people, and it became a breeding ground for death and COVID-19. And, of course, Cuomo insisted that that was in line with the directions from the CDC and everything. He's constantly defining and defending his policy. And he says if there's any controversy, it's being raised as a shiny object, just pure politics. Well, I want you to hear a question posed to him by an MSNBC host, Stephanie Ruhle, in an interview she did with the New York governor. I'm going to let you hear her whole question because I want you to hear his answer. And then we'll get into more detail because she absolutely asked a good, legitimate question. I'm going to give her praise for it. And his answer.
House Republicans are looking into New York's March 25th order that directed nursing homes to take in infected patients. This thing is not going away, sir. 6,300 people died in New York nursing homes. That is the most in this country. The more time has passed, the more your office has been able to look into this. Do you take responsibility for that order and the role it may have played in those deaths?
Yeah, the Republicans, Stephanie, are playing politics. They don't want to talk about how they are now handling this COVID virus. Yes, I understand that. And there are facts also, Stephanie. So let's look at the facts, right, rather than the political rhetoric.
But Cuomo has been weaponizing the virus ever since he could. You talk about political rhetoric, that's all we were getting from him all the time. And now he's pinned down, you had all these deaths in your nursing home, and what's he saying? Well, that's just political rhetoric. The fact exists. You want to talk about the fact, sir? You had a high loss of lives, primarily in your state, inside nursing homes, because of your order and your decision. Do you think he's going to blame himself? Well, of course not. What a stupid question, Larry. What the heck are you drinking in there? Not what I want, I'll promise you that. But the bottom line is, Cuomo says the facts show you can blame the GOP.
Yes, we had more people die in nursing homes than anywhere else because we had more people die. Because the federal government missed the boat and never told us that this virus was coming from Europe and not from China. And January, February, March, before they did the European travel ban, 3 million people came from Europe and brought the virus to New York. And the federal government didn't know. And the federal government and the CDC and all of them failed to handle this pandemic and warn this nation. So New York had more cases, more deaths, and more deaths in nursing home because that's who the virus affects. It affects senior citizens. We know that. You look at any state, and they had a tremendous number of deaths in nursing homes.
Yeah, but you had more. And you just said that's where they're going to have more deaths, and yet you were putting them into your nursing homes. But did you hear what he said? I got to blame the Republicans because they did not let us know that a lot of this was coming from Europe. Well, it is true. It is true to the extent in the beginning. It came out of Beijing, and we were looking at that. Then we saw what was happening in Italy. And then that being Europe, you do know that's Europe, not China. I'm sure you know that. And then we were seeing an increase there. And yes, they had decided most of the cases on the West Coast were direct from China. Most on the East Coast did come through Europe by one form or the other. But he wants to blame the Republicans for that. Well, he's got some support if he wants. China would be his friend because China is also stepping up and blaming. China is blaming the outbreak in Beijing on a new mutant strain of the disease imported from where? Europe. Cuomo, again, is pushing politics. Politics. But you can't blame him for that. You got to blame the other side.
It's all a political charade, and it's an ugly one, frankly, to talk about a number of deaths and suggest there was politics at it. The number of deaths are still going up, Stephanie. Look at Florida, look at Texas, look at Arizona. Let them look in the mirror and say, you know what, we were wrong. We're killing people unnecessarily by this irresponsible, reckless reopening, and it's not working for the economy either. Those are the facts, Stephanie. There are still facts and truth in life, even in this political mayhem that this nation is in.
That man can double talk better than anyone I know. I swear. I'm going to give him an award for that. It's not politics. We're not going to talk politics, but it is politics if you look at it. That's what he's saying. And his other statement earlier, yes, we had more deaths in nursing homes because that's where we had deaths. Yep, you're right. And we can't blame it on us because you don't want to do that. It's politics. It's all politics. You know what kind of response he's getting off of that? One New York lawmaker, a Republican assemblywoman, says, I want an independent investigation into these nursing home deaths. I want an independent investigation because what he is saying and what he did, quote, makes absolutely no sense. She said, I may have been the first person to call for the investigation, but I'm not going to be the last, and it's not falling upon party lines. She added, we have a very powerful Democrat Health Assembly chairman of the committee that's also called for an independent investigation. Governor Cuomo, some of your Democrats in your state are saying, we hold you responsible for all the deaths we had, especially the nursing homes. Oh, I want to hear that doublespeak. I want to hear that answer. I will guarantee you he's got one. It will be hard to follow, I will tell you that. You start listening, and you listen to the next step, and then what did he do? And he says something else. What did he say then? And by the time you're trying to re-understand that, well, then he's gone to another thing that now raises another question. This guy is slick. Oh, he's slick. Oh. I wish you luck if you're going to listen to him over and over again. And it's not politics. You did understand that. And yet the first thing he did was make it political. And then we have the question and the issue about mistakes reported on COVID deaths, actual mistakes. And then we have those false reporting stories. Are they fact? Well, I got one case where it's clearly a violation and it's done only to boost COVID-19 numbers. This will absolutely amaze you. Stand by, please.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
My director, Quentin, the Q man, came in and told me something he did yesterday. And I said, are you kidding me? Here's what he did. He said he went to the computer and just put in three random numbers. And I just did it myself to see what I would get. And he said, every time I put in any three random numbers and added the word, simply new cases, didn't even have to say COVID, it would pop up with showing cases documenting that number. I just put in 865. First thing that pops up, Virginia sees 865 new COVID cases. I tried 444. What pops up? Tarrant County, 444 new COVID cases. 932. Singapore reports 932 new COVID cases. You just uncovered the whole mathematics of this COVID-19. You know that, Quentin? We're going to send you to the CDC to straighten that thing out. We already know there's been some false reporting, mistake reporting, and just flat falsifying. I've got a story. Let me read something to you from the CDC directly, or the National Center for Health Statistics. You get down into the copy, deep into it. They're talking about the excess deaths, the estimates of excess deaths, how they're calculated, and they start talking about how many deaths are being occurred, how many are being attributed to COVID-19. And they're calculated between an observed count and then one or two thresholds, either the average count, so forth, so on. Hell, what Quentin came up with is a lot easier to understand than this, but it's still just a number. A news organization in Orlando began to take a quick look at Florida stats on COVID-19, see what's going on, and they say that we found that this story about hospitals reporting more COVID cases to get more money, they say you can trust it, but be careful because, yeah, hospitals do get $13,000 if a patient's death is caused by COVID-19, and if they're put on a ventilator, the price tag doubles, so they get three times that amount of money. They did another fact check on the whole issue of are hospitals counting all deaths, as COVID-related, and they say, not true. Well, I would say not true. Obviously, they're not counting all deaths as COVID-related, but their study was, and medical experts believe there are disparities resulting in an undercount, according to some. And again, they attribute a lack of testing. Well, if it's a lack of testing because of the dead or a lack of testing of those still living and do they have COVID-19? If you're looking at death certificates, it's a different thing. They had not acknowledged death certificates basically are much more complicated. Federal documents offer more than one section to list the cause of death and what led to it. And they insist there's no evidence any state has adopted a default diagnosis or blanket COVID-19 policy. That's what they're saying. And they said, we're tracking only real deaths. But the hospitals, yeah, it's possible they are misleading with coronavirus cases and deaths, financially motivated, but not intended. It just happens. And it's also another fact. Are hospitals tallying more deaths because they don't know how to report it? This investigation claiming, no, there's a standard in place and they should know. So that's false. That's what they're saying. So you can listen to all of that nonsense or you can do just what Quentin, my director, the Q man did, just put in three numbers and put new cases behind it. Google that and watch the numbers pop up. I've tried four or five different, and I don't find any that aren't true. Oh, I did try 001. I got no answer. Any four-digit number may change, but three-digit number. But let me give you, as I said, there are cases where there are legitimate mistakes. There are. I have no doubt. But I also truly believe there are numbers that are being falsified on purpose, maybe for a remuneration for the hospital. Not saying for fact. I'm just saying my opinion. And in some cases, there are simple mistakes. But then there are cases that you put them in and you think, what? Are you serious? I'll give you a perfect example. A Rhode Island couple, married more than 80 years, died just 2 weeks apart from each other after they both contracted coronavirus. They both are listed dying of coronavirus. The husband passed away before the wife. And a couple weeks later, she passed away. Now, I keep something in mind here. If you heard me a moment ago, I told you they'd been married for more than 80 years. More than 80 years. So what do you think their age would be? They're both 100. They got the virus, and they passed. And that's, I mean, it's a loss for that family and for any loss of life. So it's not a joke to that extent. But they're 100 years old. And now that they have passed at age 100, because they did have the virus, they're quickly labeling them dying of coronavirus. Do you have a problem with accepting that as the true fact? I mean, they're 100 years old. Maybe they would have lived to be, what, 101 day? I don't know. Nothing to joke about, except that here's a case where, really, you want to put coronavirus death as a cause for someone 100? Are those at 80 or 90 and their health compromised? There's your issue. As always, we appreciate you joining us. Mark your calendar for tomorrow. We'll be back. Book it.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Thank you for listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.